Our Bible reading this morning is Romans chapter 6, verses 8 to 14. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace.
Our Father, we recognize our dependence upon you. We don't pretend to think that somehow, purely based on our own strength, that we can understand your word. We know that the Holy Spirit enables us to understand your word. As we learn more this morning, we pray that you would teach us. Our Lord Jesus, we ask that you would reveal something more of all that you have done for us, and that you would bring greater realization to us of the implications of what you have done, so that our lives in some way would be positively affected for Jesus' sake. Amen. One of the things that has fascinated me, and particularly as a child, is the transformation of a caterpillar into a butterfly. Now, I don't know if when you were growing up you went through these things where, I know it's not quite the same, where you got silkworms. And you had these silkworms, and I remember getting the silkworms and getting the mulberry tree leaves and putting them in the little box and watching the silkworms do their thing, eating away and then eventually spinning a cocoon. Unfortunately, they come out as moths and are quite the same as a butterfly. But for a caterpillar who walks along the tree and eats the leaves and spins that cocoon and eventually transforms or metamorphoses into a completely different creature. It's amazing that this metamorphosis takes place like that, and the transformation from crawling along trees and eating leaves to flying and soaring above the world having a completely different view on life is incredible, the way that God does that whole process and how a caterpillar is completely metamorphoses into a butterfly. God, in this text, is saying to you as a believer, you are completely transformed. Once you were a caterpillar, once you lived in sin, once you were in slavery to sin, once you walked on branches, now you've been transformed. Now you've been changed. Now you've been made into someone who is completely new. You have metamorphosed from being an old dead person to living in sin to a new, a live person in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you soar with Christ. Now you are raised to newness of life. Now you are completely new, transformed, different, and you live according to a different set of standards. Now you have different desires. Now you live in a completely different way because you are not what you were. You're not on the branch anymore. You're not eating leaves anymore. You're flying. You're free. You have been completely changed. That is what the Apostle Paul is wanting to communicate and wanting to help believers to understand what they've been made into, so that the way in which they live their lives is completely different to the way in which they used to live their lives. Sanctification is not about what I do primarily. Hear me carefully. Sanctification is about realizing who I am in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I realize who I am and I come to understand and the light bulb gets turned on and I come to realize that I'm new in the Lord Jesus Christ, then naturally my life will be adjusted according to who I am. Now remember that Paul has begun this section by doing what? By saying, he says, therefore, just as sin entered the world, what then shall we say? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. And Paul is trying to develop that and help us to understand that because we are saved by grace, because everything is by grace, that that doesn't mean we sin. But when we come to understand who we are in Jesus, we will naturally understand that our lives are lived at a completely different level to what they were prior to coming to Christ. And that means effectively that we will live lives of righteousness, because that's what you are. That's who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is this realization, this reality that Paul is wanting to help us to understand in this particular text. It's revolutionary, really, when you think about it as a Christian. It helps us to come to understand that when sin comes knocking at our doors, we don't simply cave in. We don't simply say, okay, well, there's nothing I can do. I'm inevitably going to sin and I can't resist this. No, the Apostle Paul says, you're not that anymore. You're not that old person. Don't go back there and do what you're not. You need to realize who you are. And when you come to understand that, then the natural life that is in you will flow out and you will live according to that. So you can't sin, you see, because sinning is completely contrary to who you are. That's not what you are. So how can you continue to sin when God has transformed you in the Lord Jesus Christ? So firstly, I want you to notice the rewards of life in Christ, verses 8 to 11. Let's read that. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. That is the first reward. It is new life with Christ. Now, when he says that we will also live with him, he's not saying that that is bound up primarily with our resurrection in the new world. There is that aspect to it, but that's not the primary meaning of that particular phrase. When he says we will live with him, he's talking about the new life that we have received now in the Lord Jesus Christ. This new life is a present reality. It is something that God has given us in our uniting, in our unification with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that new life that we enjoy in the here and the now is the life that we will eventually enjoy in eternity one day. But Paul is not wanting us to think in terms of our resurrection from the dead one day. He's wanting us to think of in terms of what we have now. So that we have this new life in us, flowing through us. And thus we should live according to this new life that God has given us. How did we come into possession of the new life? Well, Paul tells us. Listen to what he says in the next few verses. He says, from verse 9 onwards, if you've got your Bible. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. Why? The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now, when he says death had no hold over him, we need to understand what he means. Lord Jesus Christ voluntarily comes into this world, voluntarily subjects himself to living in this sinful world, voluntarily brings himself under the rule and the reign and the power of sin. So while he lives into this world, he has put himself in that position. When he goes to the cross and he dies as one who has never ever yielded to temptation. The natural result of sin is death. So that we die because we sin. Death flows from sin. Jesus Christ dies not because he has sinned. He has not sinned. He is perfect. He has resisted temptation. Therefore, death cannot hold him. Because death is a consequence of sin, and he has not sinned. He has been put to death when he should not have been put to death. And thus death cannot hold him. Which is why he is raised from the dead, and he smashes the power of death. And therefore, all who are united with Christ, all who participate in some way in the death of Christ, also participate in the life of Christ. And they, as Christ was raised to life, they too are raised to life. And this has massive implications, because the implication that it has is you are no longer under the reign or the power or the rule of sin. It has been broken in Christ. You have been delivered from it. You have been brought into the kingdom of God. You have new life in Christ, and therefore you are no longer subject to having to respond to sin when it comes knocking at your door. Paul makes it clear that Christ's victory over sin and death is shared by those who are united to him. And Christ only dies once. In the sacrificial system of the Old Testament, the high priest would have to present himself year after year after year after year for the atonement on the Day of Atonement. He would have to present a sacrifice, and this would be ongoing until Christ, who finally comes, offers himself as the perfect sacrifice. He is not has no spot or blemish, unlike sacrifices of the Old Testament that could never atone for sin finally. Thus, when he dies, he doesn't have to die again and again and again and again in order to secure the victory over sin and death. He secures it by dying once for all time, and that death is applicable for all who trust in him. And then as he is raised to life, that resurrection life that he is raised to is the resurrection life that he passes on to you and I, and we receive new life in him. For this reason, the life given to the believer means that we need to live according to that new life. That we mustn't go back to what we were. That is to go playing in the mud again. You've been taken out of the mud. You've been washed clean. You've been given you've been made into a new person. So allow that new person to live in a way that reflects the newness of the life that you have received in the Lord Jesus Christ. The second reward is that we have a life that is unhindered. A life that is unhindered. Listen to what he says. In the same way, verse 10, the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. Now what that phrase means is that he lives his life to God in an unhindered way. Prior to being raised from the dead, as I've already said, Christ voluntarily puts himself under the power of sin. He bears the burden of the sin of his people on him continually. He eventually dies for the sin of his people. He lives in a world where he is tempted, where he is subjected to the same temptations that you and I are subjected to on a daily basis. He puts himself into the realm of the sinful world. But when he is raised from the dead, he is delivered from this realm, and he is able to live his life to the glory of God in an unhindered way. It doesn't mean he did not live to the glory of God prior. He did. But he lived to the glory of God in a world where he was still under the power, voluntarily under the power of sin. Now he has been delivered from that. Now he doesn't have the burdens that he once had in the world when he lived with us present in our own world. He has been delivered from all of that. He's been taken out of the realm. The power that sin would have exercised has been broken, been smashed, being removed. He is now delivered from that and thus is able to live in an unhindered way, in an unencumbered way, to the glory of God continually. Now, listen to what Paul says in verse 11, because it's so important. If that is true of Christ, what you need to understand about this argument that Paul's bringing, whatever is true of Jesus is true of you. And that is positionally before God. And we need to grasp that. Because you are united with Christ. You have become one with Christ. You participate in that death and resurrection in some way. And so if it's true of Jesus, it's true of you. Verse 11. Listen to what he says. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Did you hear that? You are alive in Him. You have been given life that takes you out of the realm and rule and power of sin, transports you into the kingdom of God, into the realm of grace. You are now living in the same way that Christ did. You don't have to allow yourself to be subject to sin anymore, because God has delivered you from sin and given you new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you have experienced the power of Christ's resurrection life, and you have been enabled through that same power to live out the life that God has given you in the world into which we have been placed. Which means, in effect, as a believer, what Paul is saying is realize what you are. Be what you are. You are new in Jesus. Understand that. Realize it. Live it out. Be that. That's the reality of your situation. That is the reality of your position before God. Commentators put it like this. I've got two quotes. I could have got a whole lot because there were some really good quotes that I could have used. Since Christ died to sin, and since the believer is dead with Christ, the believer is dead to sin and is to recognize the fact of that death. This does not mean that he is immune to sin. It doesn't mean you're not going to sin. Paul does not say that sin is dead. It's still alive in this world. But that the believer is to count himself dead to it. Dead to sin. Even though sin is still present in the world and sin is still going on, you need to reckon yourself, count yourself dead to that sin, because you have died with Christ. He feels temptation and sometimes he sins. But the sin of the unbeliever is the natural consequence of the fact that he is always a slave to sin. Whereas the sin of the believer is quite out of character. He has been set free. Or, another one puts it like this. The challenge of Christian living for Paul can be stated in the maxim, be what you are, or act out your true identity. You see, that's what it's about. It's not about the effort in a sense that I try and be moral or live a moral life. No, it's about me realizing who I am. And as that realization begins to dawn, as the light bulb gets switched on, and I begin to celebrate the life that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ, I let that life to naturally flow out, and I live according to who I am. And thus the process of sanctification happens. You see, it's just, it's revolutionary stuff. It's exciting stuff. And you all look so bored. It's terrible. This is, for me, just such exciting stuff. In effect, you see what Paul is saying. Don't raise that old spiritual corpse that is dead. That old person who died. They're dead. They're buried. Don't raise them up. Don't keep resurrecting the old person. They're dead. Leave them in the grave. Don't go digging it up and letting them raise their ugly head and coming up and responding to that. You're not that anymore. You knew that person's buried. Leave them buried. Don't raise them up from the dead. So in other words, it's not that we won't sin. You are going to sin from time to time. But what should characterize you is not your sinning, but your righteousness, because it's the righteousness of Christ in and through you. And that's what should characterize a Christian. You see, that's why Paul begins the section and says, how on earth can you continue to sin? Haven't you understand anything if you think you can continue to sin when you've been given new life? You can't, because that's not part of your nature. You've been changed. You have a new nature. It's contrary to who you are for you to sin. It's acting against what you are in Christ. It's to be contrary to who you are. Do you see? So it just helps us to understand this amazing new life that God has given us in Christ. When Kate Middleton got married to William, everything changed for her. She went from being a commoner to being royalty. She went from living in a house to living in a palace. She went from just being an ordinary person to being the wife of probably the next king of England. Her status changed. She's treated differently now. She has much greater privilege than she ever had before. She's been transported into a different realm. She's not ordinary Kate anymore. Now she's married to a prince. Her status has changed. Your status has changed. You're now a child of the king. You're in his kingdom now. You're in his palace. You're not in the old dingy dungeon of the devil who held you in chains and caused you to do his will and respond to the slavery that you're in. Those chains have been broken. And you've been delivered into the kingdom of God. And you've been changed and you've been made a child of God. You have a new status before God. You are one of his. You're in his realm now. You're under his power now. You're under his rule now. Realize it and live accordingly, is what the apostle is saying. Therefore, stop resurrecting the old person by sinning. You're not that anymore. You're better than that. Sinning is below you. It's contrary to who you are. Secondly, I want you to notice the response to life in Christ. Verses 12 and 13. What's interesting, up until verse 10, everything's in the indicative. We get to verse 11, and Paul goes from the indicative to the imperative. The indicative sets up the imperative. It's because of the indicative, because of what you are, that Paul is able to then go to the imperatives and say, okay, if that's what you are, therefore, and he begins with some commands. So these are all commands. Verses 12 and 13. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. Now, what he means by that is when he talks about the mortal body, it is a reference to the entire person. Sin still happens in this old body. He is not saying that the body itself, in and of itself, is sinful, as though flesh is sinful and the soul is not. He's not putting a dichotomy between the two. But he says that the place in which sin occurs is in this body, whether it's my mind that allows myself to sin, whether it's through my eyes or what I say, through my speech, or whether it's some physical way in which I sin, the body includes all of me. So it includes your faculties, things like envy, jealousy, all of those kinds of things, dissension, disunity, and so on, are all included when he refers to the body and members of the body. It's all of me who sins. He says, don't allow yourself, don't allow you who you are to fall into sin. Don't offer yourself to sin when it comes knocking at your door. Don't just meekly subject yourself and surrender and say, well, there's nothing I can do about it. I may as well just sin because I can't resist. Don't do it, he says, because you're not that anymore. And literally, he talks about, when he talks about instruments, it's a very interesting Greek word. It's a word that is used elsewhere in the New Testament. And every other instance in which it's used in the New Testament, it refers to a weapon. So in effect, what the Apostle Paul is saying is don't allow yourself to be used as a weapon for doing wickedness. Don't allow yourself to submit to Satan as the commander of the army, because you're not in Satan's army anymore. He is not your commander anymore. Therefore, offer yourselves as weapons of righteousness, because you are in God's army. You're under Christ's lordship. Jesus is your commander. Therefore, make sure that you offer yourself to Jesus so that you are engaged in acts of righteousness, because that is who you are in Jesus. Don't allow yourselves to listen to the lies and the deceits of the devil who tries to exact military service and soldierly obedience. Put yourself at the disposal of God. Offer yourselves to Him. Allow Him to drive the way you think, the way you speak, the way you behave. Because as you do that, it is simply exhibiting, it is simply displaying, it is showing who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be what you are. Since they've been given new life in Christ, you must use this gift that God has given you in Jesus to glorify and to serve Him. And that's the point, that we are dedicated to offering ourselves to God in God's service, that we might magnify His great name by ensuring that we are being used as weapons of righteousness in the kingdom of God. And that simply is an expression of who you are. Second Corinthians 5:21. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. So that God has imputed to you through the Lord Jesus Christ His righteousness. He has made us righteous. Now, says Paul as he commands, live that out. Be that person in Christ. And that does require effort. It doesn't mean you just sit back and do nothing about it. I have a good friend who lives in New Zealand, and who at the closure of today is going to be very, very disappointed. Well, yes, it's true. Anyway, I'll rub it in when the game's over. But he occasionally comes over to Australia on business. And when he's able, if his schedule is not too busy, we meet up and we'll have a meal together. And the last time he was over here, we met up for dinner, and we were chatting and just chatting about our Christian life and some of the challenges and temptations that we face and the need to resist those. And he was saying to me, Ian, you know, he said, a while ago, and this was like a while ago, it wasn't on the trip that he was on. He said, I'd come over and I was staying in a hotel and I was sitting in my room and I sat and I was so tempted to turn the TV on and watch some pornography because it's free on the channels and the hotels. And he said to me, Ian, I sat there for 30 minutes fighting that temptation. Fighting, till eventually God won. And he said, now when I go to hotels, I'll tell them at the desk when I arrive, I don't want any access. Just turn off any access to any of that so that the temptation's not there. Now that is being what you are. That is living out who you are in Jesus. It's an expression of that righteousness. Yes, it's going to require some effort. But what enabled him to win is that he has resurrection life. He has the life of Jesus in him. He has the same power that raised Christ from the dead flowing in and through him. And it's that power made real by the Holy Spirit that enables you to live out what you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, and I'm out of time. Gee, time goes so quickly when I'm up front here. It's terrible. I want you to notice the release to life in Christ, verse 14. For sin shall not be your master. Why? Because you are not under law, but under grace. Now, very briefly, what he's saying there, when he refers to the law, he's referring to the Old Testament Mosaic law. You are no longer under that old dispensation. You are no longer slaves to the law. You are no longer burdened by legalism. You are no longer under the slavery of a bunch of rules that you have to obey. You are no longer subject to the Mosaic stipulations of the law. You are no longer under the old era where the power of sin dominated, where the rule of sin dominated. You have been released from that. You are now under grace. You have been freed. The shackles have been broken. The chains have been smashed. You have been delivered from all of that. You are out of the dungeon. You are in the palace now. You are no longer subject to the law and feeling burdened and guilty and in slavery to it. No, you are now under the Lord Jesus Christ. You are now under the covenant of grace, free at last. Now, you see, live according to that freedom. Live according to the fact that you are now subject to God. You are now under the lordship of Christ. Now live. Be free. Stop allowing yourselves to be tempted to go back to the old slavery. You're not that anymore. Stay away from it. Don't allow yourself to indulge in it. Don't believe the lies of the devil when he tempts you to try and go back to what you were. You have new life in Christ and you have been enabled by the power of the Spirit to live according to that new life. Listen to Paul in Ephesians 3 verse 16 and 17b. I pray that out of his glorious riches that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your innermost being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And the Apostle Paul is saying that he prays that God's dynamite power, his dunamis power might be evidenced in you through the Spirit, that Christ might fully dwell in your heart and that new life in Christ might flow out of that. You're not left on your own. God's enabled you to resist. He's given you the power to resist. And to sin, you see, for the believer to sin is to turn your back on Christ. There was recently, and I'll close with this, there was recently a video on YouTube. I don't, and in case you think I spend time on YouTube, I don't. It was actually a link someone gave me to a video that was on YouTube. that sent me a link, and it was also on a website, a news website, a link to it also. But it was of this elephant in India, a great big elephant that had been in chains all its life. It had these great big shackles with steel pins that looked terrible around its 4 feet. And it was chained, these chains going down, and it was owned by a particular man who had owned this elephant from the day it was born and had chained it. It was terrible. This elephant had just lived like this in slavery all its life. And there's an organization that seeks to try and free animals like that, and they'd gone to court and gone through a long process, and they'd managed to secure a court interdict that they could go and free it. And so a team of people went along to this man's home, managed to get in, and you saw them with hammers, you know, hitting off these great big shackles, freeing this elephant, and then leading this elephant out. And as this elephant was being led out, unbelievably, there was a tear that ran down his face, coming down his eye. It was free, finally. It was free to be an elephant. It was free to roam the wild. It was free to be what God created it to be. No longer shackled, no longer under the slavery of that owner, no longer forced to do things it was not created to do. God has broken the shackles, and He has created you new, and He has enabled you to live according to this newness of life you have in you, so that sinning should be the exception and righteousness should be the rule, not because you have to legalistically obey, but because you are simply living out who you are. And this new life permeates and needs to be expressed by us in our daily living. That's what you are. Realize it. Come to understand it. Celebrate it. Look with joy. God has freed you from sin. Created you as a new creation in Him. Be what you are. Amen. Our Father, we thank You so much for this new life that You have created for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to celebrate it and to live it out and to find great joy in being alive in You, that our lives might reflect who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ on a daily basis. For Jesus' sake. Amen.